Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode number 199 of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. You're joined by me, Al, by my good friend Anton. Hello, Anton.
Hello, Alistair. And once again, it's just ourselves, I think.
Yeah, we've got no mic
Hello.
Again.
Hello, I'm here. Oh, I know what? You probably don't recognize me, but I am actually here.
Who's that?
I haven't seen this man in my life.
I'm the guy that used to be a presenter on the Nintendo Switch UK podcast, but seemed to disappear for half a year. Hello, I'm back.
It's Mike. He's here. Oh, I'm so excited.
So, and the crowd go wild.
I want to know, right, how was the pirating adventure? Because you were swashbuckling last week. How was that?
I'll be honest, it was quite hard.
Very good. How did the one-man show go? Tiny, Dangerous, and... Fabulous. Tiny, Dangerous, and Fabulous. How did that go?
Well, it was a small show, but unfortunately, because of the danger, the sellout crowd had to leave early. And but they went home with a fabulous feeling, so it was good.
You know what, I'm glad you're back, because it means we don't need to come up with a cover story for you every week, man. That was
tough. Do you mean a cover story? What are you talking about? Yes, I am back. It's nice to be back. It's very surreal. In fact, every time that we do this show, I remember how much I enjoy doing it, and I've hated not being able to do it. However, I've managed to create a setup that has allowed me to join you, and circumstances have meant that I can hopefully now get back to being on the show regularly, which would be wonderful because I love the community, I love our team, I love you guys, I love the Patreons. I'm just full of love tonight.
Oh, that's great. You know, I'm just chuffed because it means I don't need to lead this anymore. I mean, you can take over. You can do like the whole right, presenting bit.
Right, hang on, can we start again? Hello and welcome to the Nintendo Switch podcast. It's episode 199. I'm Mike.
I'm Al.
And I'm Anton. And I think, most importantly, you have been gone, but have you been playing Nintendo Switch, Mike?
Yes. Now, this is one thing that I've been wanting to talk to you guys for ages, because yes, I have. So I've nearly finished. I'm on the very last level of the story of Kirby Return. What was the latest one he released? The platformy one. I forget what it's called now.
2D or 3D?
2D.
Oh, Return to Dreamland.
I knew it was Return to something, but I was getting confused with Robobot, which is on the 3DS. But anyway, so I'm on the last level of that. I have to say, really enjoying it. So much fun. I just love Kirby games. Whether they're 2D, 3D, 4D, or 10D, they are wonderful. And just great fun. So I've been playing that, nearly finished that. I have also been playing Eastward. I've kind of started again on that because I sort of played it on a train and realized that I was quite stuck and I couldn't figure it out, but it was because I wasn't paying attention. I've realized now when I go back through it, I'm like, ah, right, I see what I should have been doing. So I started on that as well. And also, what's the other one I've been playing? Something else that I'd have played a bit of Cruisin' Blast.
Oh, fun. And what do you reckon?
Really fun. It's arcade though. It's pure arcade nonsense. I love it. It's great. I don't expect any realism whatsoever. I mean, the cars are flying everywhere. There's giant giraffes and things, but it's awesome and a lot of fun. And there's another game that I'm missing that I've been playing a lot of, and I'm trying to think what it is. And it's really going to annoy me because I was playing it maybe today.
Wow, that's impressively bad. I mean, yeah. I know you're old, but seriously, you can't remember what you're playing today.
Yeah, well, you see, the thing is with Kirby is that I've kind of got to the point now where I'm like, I really want to finish it, but I'm a bit Kirby'd out at the minute, so I've kind of come away from it for a little bit just to play something else, and Eastward was filling that space. So it's just about trying to, you know, balance it. But yes, I am. I'm making a bit of a dent into my games list, and I've got a big trip to Asia in May, so I'm planning. There's two 10-hour flights, so I'm very much planning to try and get through something on those. So
that is a lot of Tears of the Kingdom that you can do in that time.
Well, yeah, well, I'm sure we might mention it in this episode. I don't know, I've just got this feeling. But Al, what about you? What have you been playing?
I have done a fair bit of Switch, but nothing new. Nobody's going to be surprised. I played quite a bit more of Sports Story. Still not finished it, but I feel like I must be near the end. I mean, I'm speaking to a queen now, so, I mean, that's like a thing. I have played a fair bit of Mario Kart this week. I realised that I hadn't played the last wave of courses that dropped back in like Christmas time, because I went, loaded it up, and was like, ah, I've not touched any of these. This is cool. So we've been playing our way through, what, 8 different cups? Something like that. Maybe just 4 different cups. But we played a lot of Mario Kart this week. And, of course, good old Boomerang Foo, because you can't go for a week without playing Boomerang Foo. It's just too good.
Oh, it's a great game. We had a lot of fun when I was round playing it with you, Alan. It's just, it's surprisingly good. It's actually on a sale right now. I know we're going to do deals of the week, but it's super cheap at the minute. So if you see it on sale, I think it's like a couple of quid. It's an absolute bargain. Anton, what about you?
Oh, so I've done a little bit of gaming, just mainly just testing things out. I've done a little bit of, I've moved on to Tetris Ultimate. I've been playing random Tetris games all the time. That's on the 3DS. I did Tetris DX on my Atomic Purple Game Boy Color, and I did Sonic N on the Nokia N-Gage. But regarding the Nintendo Switch, I've had the screwdrivers out. Firstly, I've been piecing together Nintendo Switch Lite. I've managed to get it not held together with duct tape now, so it's a proper presentable console. It's lost the moniker Garbo Boy Jr., but it will always be Garbo Boy Jr. in my heart. And more excitingly, I've finally done a deep dive and torn apart my Joy-Cons and done a full restore on them. So,
and are they standard sticks, or have you upgraded them?
I have updated to the Gulkit Hull joysticks, electromagnetic sticks, so will never get drift, which is very, very exciting.
How difficult, how long did it take you, and is it something I should undertake, or do I need to give them to you to get mine done?
I would say, if you have a set of Joy-Cons that have drift,
which I do,
replace them and forget about it.
Damn.
It's fairly easy. You kind of have to peel everything out. I think you could do it without unplugging anything, but peel everything out. It's like a ribbon cable in, so it's fairly easy, but totally recommend it. I think if you're also in there, I basically went ahead and swapped out everything. It's fresh batteries. I've went ahead and replaced the plastic latches that do like the click and hold them in place. I've replaced them with metal, so they're like super tough now and like firm, and there's no wiggle to them. So fresh everything, new shells, new that. I still need to get some new SL and SR buttons, because those ones have just snapped. So overall, 90% there, but super happy to have working Joy-Cons again.
Yeah, I've actually been testing a lot of games, not with Joy-Cons, because that's your job, Anton, but I did try out Disco Elysium. That was another one I tried out, and we just played maybe an hour in, but really, really impressive. It's a deep game. I decided I'm going to maybe hold that one back for the flight, because it's one of those games where you really need to immerse yourself in it, I think, but very impressive. So yeah, I've been flying through the games, just need to try and get some more time, I guess. It's like all of us, really, isn't it?
Oh, time is the one precious resource that none of us have nearly enough of. That's far too philosophical. I think we probably need to start talking about games. Oh, no, before we do, Tetris movie.
Before we do.
Has anybody watched the Tetris movie yet?
So I have it on the watch list. I know a lot of it was filmed in Aberdeen, which is one of the reasons that I do want to watch it. And it will be very obvious to us. For other people outside of Aberdeen, it probably just looks like Soviet Russia in the 80s. However, for us, it's Aberdeen. Anton, have you watched it yet?
So this is part of my preparation of playing all this Tetris. It's making sure I've got the lore and the expanded universe down right. I'm waiting because there's a couple of cinemas near me that are doing some screenings of it. So I'm going to try and see if I can see it. I think they're doing them on Tuesday. So
you're going to try and see if you can fit it in.
Exactly. Tetris it into my schedule. You know, I'm hoping I can make it work, but I'm a bit busy. So I might have to just be on the big TV, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It looks
brilliant. What did you think of it?
Well, I've not seen it yet, but I saw in our Discord at least one, if not a couple of people have seen it, and they were saying that it was very, very good. They had good things to say about it, and they too recognised Aberdeen, or at least one of them recognised Aberdeen, because they don't live a million miles away from here, and they recognised it, and apparently someone's partner recognised Gatwick Airport in it.
Oh yes, I did see that in the Discord. That's very funny. Just a quick reminder as well, nsukp.co.uk, come and join us. It's been so long, but I know that we also have paid Patreons, and if you want to come and join us and be one of our patrons, it's cheap, easy, and a lot of fun, Al.
Yeah, £2 a month. It's all it costs now. £2 a month, nice flat fee, and you get access to, well, the entire back catalogue of everything we did. And I can tell you from personal experience, because I went through and had to click a button on every single episode recently, that we have made a lot of content. There's so much of it there. So yeah, you get that. You get access to the Discord. You get access to Last Call, which is a show that we talk nonsense about, frankly. I couldn't even tell you what it's about. It's about a different thing every single week. Depends what we want to rave and rant and chat and joke about. And sometimes we just play stupid games. I've actually got a kind of stupid game lined up to play at some point with you guys when we next do one together. So
Love that. Okay, right. Let's move on then and start talking about this week's news.
tell us. The people want to know.
Must be so weird for you, Alf, not to be saying that after what feels like about 6 months, but probably isn't, but it feels like it.
It is slightly odd handing the reins back to you, my friend. But that's fine.
I'm sorry.
This is your bag. I was just holding, I was keeping your seat warm for you. I was farting into the seat, keeping it cozy, waiting for your return.
You know, there's going to be listeners who started listening over the last few weeks and they're sitting there at the minute thinking, what am I listening? Who is this? Why is he ruining the show? It was just fine with the two of them. That's just the way it works. But to you, I say, stick with us because we have a special connection, Anton, Alistair and I, and that will all become apparent when I'm slagged off continually throughout the whole episode and the rest of the season.
We would never do that. We love you far
by the way,
too much.
I know later we'll have the quiz, but have we played a quiz this year?
No,
we've done one.
You guys are drawn. No, there's been no quiz this year.
None, yes, a tie.
It's a total tie. You guys
this
are neck and neck.
Is,
it's very exciting.
This is the best performance I've ever had on the quiz. April, and it's still equal. Okay, first up then, Devilish Games have announced Minabo. It's a walkthrough life for Nintendo Switch. Published by Select to Play, a growing social sim coming out on April the 28th for £13.20, which seems fairly cheap. What was your take on this, Anton?
Yeah, you know, I really want to love it. It is definitely a bit simple. The premise is you're basically just walking through life. You know, you'll have families, you will, you know, die, you'll have random events. It almost looks like a slightly cuter version of the Oregon Trail in just this kind of, you're going on this journey with these characters that might not make it and, you know, generations might continue. You know, I really want it to be good because I think it's cute and it's kind of doing kind of a morbid thing here in a cute setting. But it does look a little bit bare bones. So I'm dubious, but waiting for reviews, Al.
Yeah, I'm saying yeah as if I actually agree with you. I don't. I actually think it looks really quite good. For once, I'm not negative Nelly. I'm not all doom and gloom. I looked at this and went, oh, this is really cute. This just makes me kind of happy. It's got really cozy vibes. It feels lovely. You're right, though. It is dealing with really deep, kind of dark is maybe the wrong word, but there are some dark life decisions in there. To the point where I think they had, in the press release, it said they had an onboard psychologist, counsellor person, helping them input to the development of the game, because it does genuinely deal with some really interesting choices you have to make and the repercussions of what that means. I'll have to say, when you did say it looked like the Oregon Trail, I did hear that as the Oregon Trail and thought, wow, it's going really dark. So I don't know what that is, but it can't be good. But this does look good. I'm kind of slightly smitten with this one, Mike.
Yeah, I like the art style because it's definitely up my street, the art style. But I think I can take Anton's point. I think I'm going to wait and see what the reviews say on this because if I was to look at this, I would buy it based off the art style. But then that's me for anything shiny. So I think I'll wait and see what the reviews are like. But I sit somewhere in between. I'm kind of excited to see how good it is. I love games like this just for something really relaxing without having to really think about anything. They're just perfect for that. So definitely one to keep an eye on, and not that long till it comes out. Next up, Acute Owl Studios have announced Bones Cafe for the Nintendo Switch. It's self-published. It's a sinister co-op restaurant game out now for £13.29, getting really good reviews on Steam. And it reminds me of like Overcooked and Retro Bomberman combined. That's what it looks like to me. My only concern, Al, is it just looks like, because of the art style, I worry in a co-op game that could be really difficult to kind of see what's going on.
I get your point. I mean, I've seen gameplay footage of it. It's been out on Steam for, I think, a little while. I think it's actually, it was very well received. But I think this is where Anton's sinister Oregon Trail comes in, because this one is slightly sinister. And to get some of your ingredients that you need to cook, you harvest them from your customers. Dark. But it does actually look quite good. It's sort of Overcooked-y, but you get to lay out your own kitchen, so there's a bit of added depth to that. So in Overcooked, you're obviously just chucked into random kitchens, and you just have to make do. You have to figure out how to work around that kitchen, whereas this seems to be a slightly different way of showcasing this kind of gameplay, where you actually get to set the kitchen up the way you want, you pick the menu, and you're effectively trying to build a running, working cafe, but in a co-op, slightly frantic way. I don't think I have seen a game that's done quite this before. It's found a little unique niche for itself, and I praise it for that. I just hope the gameplay lives up to the hype.
Hey Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, it's kind of reminded me a bit of Plate Up, which is yet to come to Switch, but I see quite likely... considering the publisher's history, where it has this setting up and management element to it. That one, unlike this title, is much more a roguelike, where if you know you die, the whole restaurant and your characters go back to the start, and then you go for another game time. So it's a little bit squished between that and Overcooked. So for some people, I could see this being the perfect, you know, blend, because I won't lie, I really loved the building your restaurant element of Play Up. I'm just not very good, so I never actually built a very big restaurant, though.
Yeah, I do think it has something about it which could be really good, and I love anything that's co-op, that's frantic and fun. I just hope, see, with Overcooked, I completed both games in co-op, and I found that I got better and calmer the more I played, but you do have the tendency to sort of get quite frustrated at times. And this one doesn't look like that, though. It looks like it might be more funny in frantic. Overcooked just feels like a lot of pressure, but maybe that was just me. But definitely one to watch. Next up, we have from Bitloom Games. They've announced Tray Racers for the Nintendo Switch. It's a fast downhill dash on a tray. It's free to play. It's launching on April the 13th, and there will be in-game purchases. I like the premise of this one, Anton. I think it's a fun idea, racing on a tray. I mean, that sounds good. Free to me seems about the right level.
Oh, so harsh. Yeah, you know, it's a tough space because it's, you know, getting close to kart racing. It's not, but it's got that kind of very easy pick up and play element to it. But I do think the moment-to-moment game play of just avoiding these obstacles coming at you very, very quickly does look fun. So I'm glad it is free to play, because I'll give that a wee go. But I'm also a sucker that plays every Sonic game, so maybe I just like fast games. How about yourself, Alistair?
I think that this is a perfect game to play on your mobile phone while you're sitting on the loo.
Yeah.
It's just, I just watched this and went, you know what, the visual aesthetic they've chosen is... It's very, very simple. It's not a complicated looking game visually. It's very bright and cheery, don't get me wrong, but it's not a complicated game, and it does look like it would be great fun in very, very small bursts, but it just doesn't feel like it fits nicely on the Switch. It does feel like you pick it up, you play it for 2 minutes, you put it back down again, and I don't play my Switch that way. I don't know about you guys, but it's just not the way I do it. I can't see it being a big, hey guys, let's all get together and play this online game. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I think it has some merit in that they have obviously realized that this is going to be a tough sell. And I think that's where they're going with this model on it, while, you know, providing a free-to-play version with in-app purchases. But the fact that they're even called in-app purchases tells you everything you need to know. It's supposed to be a mobile game. You're absolutely right. That's exactly what this is to me. But some people might play their Switch like that, and it might be one of those games that you have and you go, oh, you know what, I've got 5 minutes, I'm in between games, I'm just going to have one downhill race. That's kind of where I see this fitting for some Switch players, but free to play anyway, so can't complain too much. We shouldn't complain, because we love free stuff. Next up, the Alicon company have announced Alicon for the Nintendo Switch. I see where they got the name. Published by Forever Entertainment, it's a casual photography game with fictional beings. It's coming out on April the 6th, and it's £14.39. It's a bit like the Pokemon Snap game, but like Toem, is that the other one that's in black and white? But it's kind of got this kind of fantasy world, and yeah, I mean, it's difficult to tell, because it looks okay, you know, but it's hard to tell. I just don't know. I don't know what to say about it, Anton.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head. It is very much a Pokemon Snap-like, and I think if you're into that sort of game, you will enjoy this. What I do got to give this game credit for is it doesn't feel like any less of a game. It just feels like a different game. And I think in some ways, although I do like a bit of Pokemon Snap here and there, it's a bit expensive for what you're getting. Whereas this title, I feel like, is at a much more fair price for a game that is basically an on-rails title.
Yes, but it's so much more than that. So that's what I quite like about this title. It's been out on Switch since been out on Steam since 2021. It's got pretty positive reviews, but unlike Pokemon Snap, which is restricted to Rails, this one isn't. You can go through on Rails and take photographs, but you're also encouraged to go off and wander around. And every single character, every single, you know, creature you can interact with, and they create little stories. And it's this whole bigger, much richer, deeper world. And I just think this is great. It's what Pokemon Snap probably should have been, albeit Pokemon Snap is kind of restricted to being Rails because that's what that franchise and that game is about. This one just takes the concept but blows it up and makes it a much more engaging proposition, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I think that the fact that you don't have to be on Rails and there's some exploration, again, it could be the perfect palate cleanser in between some sort of action game, and obviously there are creatures and all sorts of wild and wonderful things, but it feels casual, and that could be a good thing. And as Anton mentioned, the price point is better as well. So interesting to see how it's received. It's out in a few days, so we'll get to know. This next one, though, all I could think of was Al when I saw this one. It's from Wild Fields. They've announced Speed Crew for the Nintendo Switch. It's a co-op car builder coming out on June the 8th. It's all focused around the pit stop and the pit lane. But the one thing that got me, Al, was... is that like taking a football game and being the assistant referee?
I can see why, but no, because pit crews generally are, I'm going to say, underrated. Most motor racing would not happen without pit crews to, you know, do your tire changes.
Very true.
And fuel and all that good stuff. They get the cars ready. This one is basically taking them, making them the heroes of the game. The little cars run around the circuit round about you, and then they come in and do a pit stop, and you've got to basically do all the stuff. That's probably not what you're picturing, because when I read the blurb, I then watched the clip and I was like, oh, okay, that wasn't what I expected. I was expecting it to be centered around, you know, like a Formula One pit box, because that's my interpretation of motorsport. But this is proper roll your sleeves up, oil and grease monkey type stuff.
I did like the visuals,
it's
I have to say.
Really,
I thought the visuals
cool.
were really cute.
It is brilliant and fun and just quirky, and you're doing all kinds of stuff. You're fending off other mechanics who are coming to beat your car up. You're stealing engines from other cars by the look of it and putting them into yours, and you're doing all kinds of weird and wacky stuff. And it basically reminds me of something like Moving Out, but in car form. And I just think this looks so much fun. It's a proper, you know, TV co-op thing. Try and do it by yourself, it would be very boring, but with a friend or a couple of friends, I think this could be hilarious. It's right up my street.
I'm with you there, Al. I'm kind of impressed by how far they've taken the premise here in this case, where I think it could be relatively easy to make an entire game about being, you know, the pit stop crew and make it co-op. But what I quite liked was the kind of different stages and environments they did this in. You know, there's elements where, like, oh, you just need to take cars that come up on the left side and reassemble them on the right side, and kind of do this all efficiently, working with your teammates, and just the different levels that they had and the variety to it, and then having the mechanics from other teams come. I was very impressed by what they put together here, even if it is in a crowded genre.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think because I'm not in any way bothered about cars other than just racing them in games, it for me, it's just like, I don't quite get it. But then Overcooked would have been the same for me had it not been, you know, I wouldn't have been bothered about a cooking game, but then it's totally different when you play it. So it's one of those, I think, giving it a chance is the way to go for me. And I'm not sure if it will be my number one, but I'll definitely give it a go. Probably with Al, to be honest. D-Pad Studios have announced Savant Ascent for the Nintendo Switch. It's a 2D side-scrolling fantasy shooter. It certainly looks colourful and fairly impressive graphically in a 2D world. Not sure if we're the audience, Anton.
I was actually not a little bit taken by it. I was entertained. It's made by the creator of Owlboy, and it seemingly was their original title, and then took a, you know, did that incredible title, and then coming back to it with fresh eyes, I quite like the music of this title, and yeah, just kind of take Mega Man and then combine it with like Castlevania 4 and then chuck it in like fantasy land. It's I'm quite taken aback. It looks like a polished title here, and I like it. How about yourself, Al?
I sort of sit somewhere between the two of you. I mean, I'm not personally interested in the game, but I see why you are. It does look very, very polished. As you said, it's coming for its 10th anniversary, and they've put a whole load of work into this. I'm going to call it a remaster, that's basically what it is. They've brought in new bosses, they've upped the graphical fidelity, they've got a whole new soundtrack to it. Actually, I quite like the fact the soundtrack to the game, which is called Savant Ascent, has been done by a Norwegian artist called Savant, which I just think is covering a nice little touch.
That's cool.
I love that. It looks very polished, very, very clean. I do think it could probably be one that's worth looking at when it comes out, as long as I don't charge an arm and a leg for it. I mean, it's 10 years old, but it's getting a nice kick up the arse to making it positive and modern.
Yeah, fair enough. SNK have announced the King of Fighters 13 global match for Nintendo Switch. It's a 2D arcade fighting game coming out in early summer. This will probably do well because SNK generally do good fighting games, Al.
Yeah, they picked a weird day to announce it, though. They announced it on April Fool's, but not in the morning, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So there was a lot of skepticism around this when it came out, going, is this real? This must be an April Fool. Nobody can do that. And then people slowly went, they're not retracting it. This is actually happening. This is cool. And now everyone's very excited because I think this was PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3 title. It's an older title, right? Anton probably knows. Do you know, Anton?
Yeah, it's been ported many, many, many times. It's kind of like Street Fighter when they just keep on doing new versions of it to get it carried a long time.
Yeah, I think the original, I've just looked it up, was 2010. So it's been around for a little while, but it's fun. I mean, we do love a good 2D fighter. It's not in the league of the modern fighters. It doesn't look like that. It looks more like Street Fighter 2 Turbo, but
it kind of gives me kind of collector's vibes on this one, Anton. Like people that love the SNK series of games and want to add this to their collection, they maybe got a bit of nostalgia from it, but it feels like the kind of game that you go, I'll have that for my collection rather than I'm going to rush out and buy it.
To a degree, yeah. It's an interesting one where SNK were very much of an era and then just stuck to their era. And not in a bad way, but they were doing 2D sprite-based games on the Xbox original.
Very much their thing. I have to ask you guys, when I watched the release trailer and read all the blurb on it, they had in big, bold letters something they were really highlighting as being a feature, and I went, I have no idea what that means. When you saw rollback netcode overhaul !, does anybody know what that actually means? Or is it just me?
Come on, Al, it's obvious. I have no idea.
So basically they've went ahead and it's just all the code to make sure when you're playing online, the latency isn't annoying or bad. Oh. And you can get those frame perfect moves on each side of the, electronic game.
I knew Anton would know. See, he's a font of knowledge. This is why we have him. He's great.
Yes, he's Anton of knowledge.
You what?
Okay, it is time then for my deals of the week. And it's, first of all I will say is just jump on the eShop. There are some incredible deals at the minute. One of the ones that I spotted that I think is really good value if you want a game with loads of hours, Ni No Kuni Remastered Wrath of the White Witch is $7.99 currently. And that's hours and hours and hours of gameplay, Anton.
Indeed, and just incredible storytelling, incredible cutscenes. Delighted that we've got both the games on Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, if you are looking to get that one, Monster Shop are doing it for $48.99. Not much of a discount because, it's brand new and it's not even out yet. But still, it's the kind of game that I think is just going to be that price forever, pretty much, unless you buy the limited edition, which I do think will make money if you don't open it. But I don't know. What's your thoughts, Al?
I'm probably the wrong person to ask about buying limited edition things, but that's a pretty good price because I think the full price is $59.99. So it's still a decent discount.
Yeah. Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope at Asda has been spotted for £24. That seems to be an offer that they're doing at the minute. So might be worth just keeping an eye out for that one. And Metroid Prime Remastered, which I do have and I'm planning to play quite soon. £29.99 click and collect from Argos, Anton.
I've had my eyes on, especially now that I've got my new joysticks or analog sticks and my Joy-Cons. I think I need to get a first-person shooter on the go.
Yeah, the Doctor Who Duo Bundle. Now, I know these are mobile games, but they're actually pretty reasonable, the two Doctor Who games. And it's Smith's. If you are lucky enough, you can pick it up for $9.99 physical. And it is an actual physical. It's not a code in a box or anything.
Woohoo for the Who.
Yeah, woohoo for the Who. And then finally, we have Kirby's Return to Dream Land Deluxe, which is the one I've been playing. I have to say, really, really good fun, and $36.99 at Amazon right now. Definitely worth a look. And just very quickly, I want to mention some of the eShop deals, because honestly, at the minute, it's just, they're just taking my money. Well, I mean, that doesn't say
what's
a lot.
What's new? That has always been the case.
I know. They've finally done a reduction on Autobahn Police Simulator, which is one I've always wanted, but it's still way too expensive. It's £27.27. But let me give you some of the actual deals. So at the minute, the Elder Scrolls Skyrim is $19.99. I'm not saying that's a good deal or not, because you can play it on other systems, but I'm just telling you that's
which
the lowest
version? Because there's so many different versions now.
So this is the original version, because the remastered version, which is also on sale, has a few issues as far as I'm aware. So a lot of people are still trying to pick up the first one. Doom Eternal, though, this is one that you'll like, Anton. £11.54 on the eShop right now.
I have been meaning to return to it. I played on a different platform, but I really want to play the Ancient Gods DLC. It looks very epic.
If you've just got a few pounds to spend, Rogue Legacy, £1.53. Anton, I'm going to say to you, because I know you've played this.
Indeed, one of my favourite games of all time. Captivating, simple premise. Every time you die, you come back with a different trait or ailment, fix the gameplay, and then you go back in. It's a classic roguelike.
Al Worms WMD, $3.99 at the minute.
Oh, you can't be a bit Worms. I love Worms. I think I even have WMD. Maybe, to be fair, the Switch isn't actually the best console to play it on, but at that price, who cares?
I'm glad you said I think I had WMD rather than I think I had Worms, because that was going to be concerning. Boomerang Foo, £1.86. That is just a go and buy it now.
£1.86? Seriously?
Yeah, £1.86 right now.
If
it's well worth
it,
picking up.
Go and buy it right now. If you don't buy it, we're coming into your house and we're doing bad things, because you need to
steal
go
your
buy
Switch.
It.
Captain Tsubasa, Rise of the New Champions, which is the game that I was hyped for ages and haven't even played more than 2 hours of it yet, but $7.99, that's the lowest price it's ever been. I mean, honestly, some of these deals at the minute on the eShop are ridiculous, which makes me wonder if, you know, maybe with all these rumours, and you know what, we'll leave that for later, but maybe one more for you, just to kind of, you know, let you see what you're missing if you haven't looked on there. This, I think, is an incredible deal. This is probably my deal of the week at the minute. Life is Strange, True Colours. Now, I think this is a code in a box, or it might be physical. I'm just going to check. It's Argos. And no, it is a physical version. They are selling it for $7.99 at the minute.
Wow, okay. Impressive. Both Anton and I raised our eyebrows there. That was quite impressive.
Yeah. That's a ridiculous deal.
Absolutely. I'm kind of like tempted where I'm like, do I have the time to play it? No. Do I want to own it to put it on a shelf
and
pretend that I might? Yes, I do.
Yeah, well, it's that's the deals of the week, and we'll have more next week. At the minute, it just seems to be deal after deal, which is not good for the wallet.
Tell us the people want to know.
Next up, The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. Every time, Tears of the Kingdom. I'll never not think of Tears instead of Tears. It gets a gameplay demonstration, the gameplay showcase, the Sky Islands, Rewinding Time, new enemies called Construct, Item Fusing, which I did find quite hilarious, Ultra Hand, Ascend, and Glide. All right. Al, thoughts?
Well, I've got to say, this was divisive in our Discord. There was a very clear dividing line down the middle of the people who loved it and the people who hated it. I got to say, I'm on the loving side. I watched that trailer and went, oh, yes, this is good. This is a nice step up from the last one. They've realised that they can't just copy what they did last time, and they've introduced all these new mechanics, which completely changes the way the game plays and works and the way you've got to think and the way you can tackle challenges. They introduced sort of rewinding time so you can fly up the way, and just the whole, all of these mechanics, they look like they're probably very, very simple to execute, but could have really deep repercussions and really, really let you, you know, solve some very complicated puzzles on the way through. But equally, it does look like they've increased the quality of life. The fact you can just, you know, jump up through a ceiling of a cave and appear on the top of the mountain, that is going to save so much time and get rid of, let's face it, what was a bit of a trudge getting through climbing up the massive sides of mountains in the last game. So I do think that all these changes look really, really cool, and I'm kind of fascinated to see what various machines and modes of transport you can build with all the bits lying around the country or the kingdom or whatever the heck you want to call it. I for one, am very excited. Anton, where did you stand on this divide? Because I think you seem very quiet in the Discord.
Yes. Well, what I find amazing about the decisions they've taken here is I think they've taken looking at primarily the fusing of items, is they took one of the most divisive mechanics in of what was a very beloved game, the weapon durability, and they've, you know, they've emphasized it, they've emboldened it, and, you know, they're really encouraging you to, you know, be, you know, non-sentimental with your weapons and items. And that looks very exciting. And then for me personally, the thing I thought Breath of the Wild did absolutely fantastically was not that it was, you know, a good story or this big grand adventure. It was a sandbox. They gave you all these tools and then you figured out how to use it. You know, you had a tree, so you chopped down like, you chop down some leaves, you get a big leaf, you go on a raft, you blow it. You know, you're doing that problem solving. That was in Breath of the Wild. And then now with the, you know, Ultra Hand and, you know, all the way these different items will interact, you know, that's so much experimentation, and that's just what's brilliant in gameplay. You know, what if you use the, you know, you build a, you know, a vehicle of some kind, and then you go ahead and then you rewind time on it? The possibilities.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah. I think this will be the perfect addition to the game. I was quite impressed with the trailer. I think it's weird because it's hard to know what to expect because they are talking about a sequel here of a game that is now, what, 5-6 years old. And it looks, graphically, I wasn't blown away, but I was also, what did I expect? Of course it's going to be similar, yeah, you know? So I think for me, it's one of those where if we're getting rave reviews, I'm probably going to buy it and give it a go. But I find with the first one that I kind of struggled to get through it. I played like 30 hours of it and I just kind of got, I have to just go for it, you know, with the game. And if I stop, I find it really hard to come back to, even though there's so much to do. So, and I hated the weapons in the first one. I hated that. So I think the new mechanics do seem to be, well, interesting if nothing else. So, I don't know. I'm on the fence. I just don't know. I just said nothing there. I just spoke and I said literally nothing. But we'll see. We'll see. They did, though, announce, and I did like this, the Nintendo Switch OLED model, Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom edition, and there will be a Pro controller and a case. And I must admit, they did look very nice. But again, it's kind of cash grabby, but I kind of like it. Al, where do you sit? Usually you'd say cash grabby, but I don't know because I think you might like this.
Yeah, I want to hate it. I want to grumble and complain about it, but it is quite cool. I mean, if you're going to buy a Switch anyway, if you've not got one and you're due to replace it, I do think that this is probably one of the coolest Switches we've seen so far. The dock is just it's a work of art. It really is lovely. I know it's just a sticker on it or vinyl or whatever they've done with it. It's printed on. It's not any different to any other dock, but it just looks really, really cool. I'm not such a fan of the Joy-Cons themselves. They don't sit well with me, and I'm not even a fan of the Pro Controller. I just love that dock. The dock and the back of the Switch with the art style they've gone with, they've plastered it on, the kind of, I'm going to call it vaguely tribally pattern, for want of a better description. I'm sure other people have got a much better way of describing it than I do. But I think that is lovely. But the Joy-Cons, I don't care, and the Pro Controller, take or leave it. Anton, are you rushing out to go and buy one and telling me that I'm totally wrong and the Joy-Cons are beautiful as well?
I personally do enjoy the whole package. I think it all works very nicely together, and the kind of, you know, the little glyphs, and I'm excited to see what that all means, because it seems like there's meaning behind all the little symbols on there. You know, I think when it comes down to consoles, limited editions on like the base version, not so exciting, because the people that love that platform will have already bought the console. You know, I know of, like, for myself, you know, I bought a new Xbox, and then like a couple months later, they're like, oh, we've got a limited edition for the new Halo game. But for new models of console, it is such a good way to incentivize people to upgrade. Like the Nintendo 2DS XL, you know, limited editions, the DS Lite limited editions, you know, those are great ways to get people that are already invested in the platform to upgrade, pushing them to get in for the first time.
Yeah, I like the Pro Controller. I must admit, that was the one where I thought, oh, I might buy that.
Well,
but
on the
I'm
Pro Controller, can I just ask, why has it got one white arm? I don't understand that.
I think it's to symbolize the fact that in the trailer/gameplay, Link only has really one arm.
Wow, okay.
Well, that's my theory.
It just looks weird.
Or corrupted in one arm.
Yeah. Anyway, Limited Run Games have announced that they're planning to release one last physical game for the 3DS. Obviously, we had the shutdown of the stores. And I still love my 3DS. I think it's still one of my favorite consoles. It's still got some amazing games on it. And this is kind of cool, Anton.
Yeah, kind of as mentioned, I was playing Tetris Ultimate on the 3DS this week. And although I'm very happy to now have the Switch Lite, I do think we have lost a, you know, genuine handhelds. We just don't have anything that is pocket size quite the same, which admittedly, you know, they're having to compete for space with our larger, ever-growing smartphones. But, you know, I would love it in future if we got smaller Switch Lights, because the 3DS is just an iconic console. And, you know, it's lovely to see how long it's lived for. And, yeah, you know, every now and then when I'm on the bus, I do see a 3DS. So there's clearly an audience for proper handhelds. And just wondering what they're going to take the plunge with their final game. And it's in an interesting position, this final game, where, you know, they can't do it digitally anymore. It has to be exclusive, you know. Whatever they release, that might be the only way, if you haven't bought in the past digitally, to get this title.
Well, they might they might tell us what they're going to release at E3.
Well, they won't, because unfortunately E3 has been cancelled, so it won't be E3. Having said that, I think we kind of predicted that this might be the way it would go about 5 years ago, because it just seems to have got, especially during the COVID years, it seemed to become less kind of relevant. And Nintendo now do everything themselves, and they announce things at other events, and I think that it's just lost what it once was, Anton.
Yeah, it's definitely a relic of the past, and I think what we've got now with the Summer Games Fest hosted by Jeff Keighley is a much more better way of tying together these various digital conferences. You know, no flubs, no you know, on-stage mishaps. People like doing it pre-recorded, but it was quite funny. Never made the notes this week in a formal capacity, but like earlier in the week, Ubisoft were like, yeah, we'll be at E3 if they don't cancel it.
Yeah.
I hopes.
Well, yeah, I thought Ubisoft were one of the companies that had already pulled out. Because the list of companies that they said pulled out were Nintendo, Ubisoft, Sega, and Tencent all said they weren't going to be coming. Microsoft said they probably weren't going to be coming, and Sony hasn't been there since 2018. So, you know, who is going to be there?
Yeah.
Yes. So it's like, I think Ubisoft and like Nintendo previously, like they would not do their conferences there, but they would still have like an on-floor presence. So that's kind of the pulling out final capacity.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's not really a shame. There's plenty of other things that we're worried about more than E3, you know, if we're honest. So it is time then for Turbo Mode. This is the part of the show where I run through, well, it has been Al recently, but it will be me this time, a whole bunch of stories, and then I'll get your thoughts on which ones you want to talk about, and they'll we'll probably chat about them. Are you both ready for me to fire through these then? I feel like we need like the Benny Hill music or something when we do Turbo Mode.
You and I got very different ideas about how Turbo Mode should sound.
Oh, really? Are you thinking it should be like that kind of vibe?
Sure, let's go with that. That sounds better than what was in my head.
Okay. All right, then, Turbo Mode. Sonic the Hedgehog will be in Samba de Amigo Party Central, and there will also be one stage City Escape and two Sonic songs, Escape from the City and Fist Bump. It's come out that the Klonoa Fantasy Reverie series was designed for Nintendo Switch first and foremost. In Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, the next 7-star Terra Raid battle has been fully revealed. Battle against Bug Terra type Samurott runs from now through to now, and April the 7th through to the 9th. By the time you listen to that, that's the only two relevant dates. Master Detective Archives Rain Code cast has a new trailer, including a cast of 13 main characters. Did see that, looks good. You can now pre-order Pikmin 4 for $49.99. The popular GameCube and Wii emulator Dolphin is coming to Steam. The 3DS and Wii U eShops have officially closed. Limited Run Games have announced Night Trap for the Game Boy Advance, which I thought that was an April Fool's. Minecraft will be getting Dungeons & Dragons themed DLC. Gazette Beasts get a new trailer. That's coming out in spring 2023. It has been discovered that the Splatoon 3 character Big Man is also called Ian. which just makes me laugh. Super Mario Odyssey has climbed back in to number 7 in the UK video games charts. Still a great game. Atari have announced a special edition of AKR, including a sticker sheet and two arcade paper crafts, coming out for $44.99. That's a lot of money. Wild Frost Shuffles has a new trailer with a release date of April the 12th. It's going to be $16.75. The Super Mario Bros. Movie will have a post-credit scene, so stick around, folks, because there'll be something after the credits roll. Hot Wheels Premium, the Super Mario Bros. Movie Plumber Van is hitting the stores in the US. The Super Mario Bros. Movie has a new pizza trailer. Illumination has shared a Clay Thompson and the Super Mario Bros. Movie trailer combination. Seth Rogen has shared that his Donkey Kong performance in the Super Mario Bros. Movie just sounds like him. He says, I don't do voices, and if you want me to be in this movie, it's going to sound like me, and that's it. And that's it. So, Al.
Okay. I was with you on the Night Trap being an April Fool, particularly because they even say on it, it's video only, there's no actual gameplay. And everyone assumed it was April Fool's, but people, at least according to the internet, have genuinely managed to go through the purchase process and have bought the game. If you're listening to this sort of the day we recorded, today is Sunday, April 2nd, you can only order it on the 1st, which is yesterday, or the 2nd today. So you have probably till, I'm guessing, midnight to get your order. And if you do want to buy that, why you would want to, I don't know, but it's a...
I've just got this theory that there's something there that this is not Night Trap on the Game Boy Advance. And I think it's probably one of those things that some people are going to get very lucky if they do order this. I just feel like they're getting something different, Anton.
I think they will be getting it. They did do a tweet today that it is a real product. It is just a gag product. So, it's not to be taken seriously. There was a very crunchy, shall we say, line of Game Boy Advance video tapes that were released during the early 2000s. So, probably
wow,
like a single...
Really?
Yeah.
Crunchy. Maybe please explain the use of the word crunchy.
Oh, you can count the pixels. That sort of crunchy. So you could get...
That was TV for us growing up, Anton.
Yeah.
But that was analog. So that was like so not even low-grade digital.
Continue my That's education of the current, use of language that young peoples do. Is crunchy video on a GameCube, is that on a Game Boy, is that froggy or is that not froggy?
That's not froggy, Alistair. Not
I don't even know
all.
What you're saying.
It makes me very angry, in fact. But, yeah, there's tons of those old tapes, so look them up. You can get, Shrek 2 on, Game Boy Advance, but as
really?
A movie.
That's so weird. Okay, Al, back to you.
That's awesome. Yeah, so I definitely wanted to pick up on that one. Mario movie. This is the week of the Mario movie. It is coming out on Wednesday. I'm ridiculously excited about this, far more excited than I really should be, given the fact I'm a 40-year-old grown-up. But I'm very excited about going to watch this Mario movie. And the newest trailers we've seen, they are awesome. They did a really cool random one where they teamed up with the NBA and, had shooting balls wearing Mario's boots, and that was fun. And then we've got I don't quite really know why they've officially called it the pizza trailer, because for the first 10 seconds or probably 3 seconds of the trailer, they're in a pizzeria. So I guess that's where the name came from. But we've seen so much in there. And every single time we see this movie, every scene they show us is ram-packed, full of Mario goodness. There's just little hints and nods. And just every single thing seems to be chocker with Nintendo wonderfulness. And I'm hoping the rest of the movie is going to be like this. I just hope when we meet next Sunday to record the next episode that I'm not woefully disappointed at how bad the movie was, because I'm far too excited for it. So
I'm actually looking forward to the YouTube videos of all the Easter eggs in the movie, because there's going to be so many of them. Anton, what about you? What did you want to pick up on?
Similarly, it's been great to kind of see the hype promotional machine for this movie. There's tons of promotions going on in the States that, we won't cover as a UK podcast, but the hype is definitely on. And similarly, really impressed by how expensive some of those scenes look, just full and interesting and engaging. I'm very happy now that we can pre-order Pikmin 4. Just hope we get some more gameplay of that and we get to see what more of it. But to be honest, I'm very happy with what they've shown so far. And nothing really, to be honest. It's jumping else beyond that.
Do we think that this movie is why Mario Odyssey is back in the charts, or is there another reason?
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah, I think so. It's, I think it's a combination of just Mario Fever going around and then maybe the new Mario bundle that they've released for kind of getting people into it.
Mm. Well, speaking of that, let's move on to the rumours. Best Buy, let me do that again. It's been so long that I forgot to leave a gap. Let's try that again. It's time for the rumours.
No, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
There we go. That's better. Okay, Best Buy have leaked the Super Mario Bros. Movie Power Up Collector's Edition. It's a 4K Blu-ray Steelbook Edition coming out on the 6th of June. That's mad, because it just... It's so close after, but I suppose that's the era we live in, Al, that things are streamed and you can buy things very quickly after a film is in the cinema.
Yeah, totally. That's it. The world has changed. You no longer need to wait 6 months, a year before you can own these things. They come out quick because we have become a nation, a community of people that forget very easily and the hype will disappear. So they may as well ride that train while it's there. What I don't get, I used to buy these steelbooks when I was younger. I used to buy all the collector's editions of movies and stuff, and then I realised it was completely pointless doing that because they're worth diddly squat afterwards and nobody cares.
Yeah,
so
it's true.
I just don't care about this myself anymore. I've grown up and realised that is just marketing to make you pay more for something you don't need.
I think it's taken a little rebound because there was a phase where nobody was, you know, there was tons of them and you could buy them in the supermarkets and they were worth nothing. But I go into like CX these days. Oh, people are paying stupid money for UHD steelbooks. Wow. I don't like even beyond the prices of UHD. So I think it's like it's gone so niche. It's almost getting to vinyl territory, so where the only people buying this physical media are like crazy about it.
Yeah, but are you telling me that my steelbook DVD of Terminator 2 is now worth something? I very much doubt it.
Nah, no, I don't think so. I think there's been a, you know, a dip and then an increase, but nevertheless, it's kids' films, they get syndicated very quickly to home media.
And, kids' films? This is the Mario movie we're talking about, Anton.
True, it's a movie for all of us, starting from kids and up movies. But yeah, I'm excited to see people get making memes from this. That's the main thing I'm excited for.
Yeah, absolutely. Despite decline to share a release date, the Square Enix store has since started taking payments for the Final Fantasy collection. It's 1 through 6.
Well, hey, you can read Roman numerals. Well done, Mike.
Only just. I wasn't sure if this was 160. Like, I was confused, but then I figured out that'll be what it is because... Yeah, that was the early stuff and the pre-7. Obviously, that's how numbers work, but also I know that 7 was the big one. I don't really know much about the Final Fantasy series, but I know that. I know how they work. I know how orders work, Anton.
Yeah, we do have to wait a little bit until Final Fantasy 60, but nevertheless, we've got this collection coming very, very soon. And if you're not familiar, this is a compilation, a physical compilation of the new Pixel Remaster series, which is coming to Nintendo Switch. Which will just be nice to have nice, tidy versions of all these games. So hopefully not long to wait.
Yeah. Al, you going to buy it?
Sure. Why not?
Okay, cool. Well, that is us for the rumours. Just a quick reminder, come and join us. Be one of our Patreons. Sign up at nsukp.co.uk and remember to subscribe to the podcast if this is your first time listening. And please leave us a nice review because they do help us reach more people. It is time for the first time this year in April, fourth month, the quiz.
I have so many questions.
Gosh, quiz. Right, I have to try and remember how to do this. It's been far too long since I've done one. To be fair, I did put this quiz back together back in January. So this is, no, actually can't be January. It must be February because we didn't record in January, did we? But it has been sitting here ready to go the whole year.
Yeah. I think the only time I've been on this year, it's just been the two of us. I don't think we've had the three of us on at all in 2023.
We haven't.
Not at all.
That is why you guys are tied in April.
Yes. I'm still in with a chance.
So,
this is
because we've
is
not,
this when you get 1 point, then leave?
That's exactly what he's going to do.
Until December.
No, well, all I was going to say is we've not done a quiz now for 6 months, something like that. It's been a while. Been a little while since we've done a quiz. Maybe not 6 months. I think we did one at the end of last year. But there might be many people out there who have no idea what the quiz is or how it works, so I'll quickly run through it. Basically, it consists of three rounds. The first two rounds, I basically give some clues for the games, or a game, and Mike and Anton have got to guess what game that might be. First one to guess it gets a point. And then we have a third round, which we always have. Sometimes it's for the win. Sometimes it's just for a little bit of bragging rights. And that's the closest to the pin. I name a game and they have to tell me what year it came out. So,
yeah, I should say as well that Anton won the last previous two seasons. The first one at a canter. In fact, so much so that I was getting double points and still was nowhere near him. But the last one was very close and actually went down to the last show of the year. And Anton won it by a point. So I was proud of that. It was a proud second place.
You did. It was 12 to 11 last year. You went into the final episode 11 apiece. So, you know, you should have been very proud of that, Mike.
I was very proud.
The question is, can you replicate that again this year?
Absolutely not.
Let's find out. Our first game is a 2001 platformer. That is all I'm giving you. Fire away.
Is it...
Ratchet and Clank?
It's not.
Conker's Bad Fur Day.
And it's not that either. It was released on the Game Boy Advanced.
The Flintstones.
No.
Was it Sonic Advance?
It was Sonic Advance!
That's exactly what my next guess was going to be, was Sonic Advance, because I thought, no, wait a minute, I think I know where this is going. Well done, Anton.
Good job. First Blood, well done. That is... That's impressive. I mean, I had a whole load more clues. I only got through two. This is going to be another quick quiz, isn't it? I need to up my game. All right, let's try the second game and see how you get on with this one. 2001, mostly, it was 2002 in Europe, but 2001 turn-based strategy game. Fire away, chaps.
Turn-based strategy from 2001. Advance Wars.
Seriously, Mike?
Is it?
First, yes.
Oh. Wow.
All right.
Right, well, this is going to be the fastest quiz we've ever done. However, it does mean that we're going to go into the closest to the pin completely tied. And I'm going to see if I can find a coin or something to decide who gets to guess first. Have I got any coins in my wallet? I do.
Wow, I'm impressed you've got coins. I mean, if I go to the supermarket now, I forget you have to have a pound coin.
I have a 20p piece. On one side, right, there is a... What's that? That must be the... tail, because on the other side there's a head. All right, see,
okay,
proper
Anton,
genuine coin.
If you agree, we'll go with heads I win, tails you lose.
Sounds good.
You've not thought this through, Anton. You know what? I'll go tails, you go heads. How about that?
Either way, we'll see who's closest to the pin.
Right.
I should have stuck with my original statement. Anyway, I'm tails.
Right, you're
heads.
Tails.
Let's do
Mike
it.
Is tails. All right, here we go. Flipping coin, and it's heads. Right, Anton, do you want to go first or second? You get the choice.
I'll go second.
You're going second.
Okay.
Well,
the heat is on.
What year did Mario Paint get released?
Oh, Mario Paint. 1993.
And Anton?
1994.
You're both so close. Neither one of you is actually on the money. One of you is 1 year off because it came out in 1992.
Yeah!
Congrats.
Mike wins the first opening round.
I mean, this is my last show. It's been wonderful. And I'll see you all in 2024. No, that was, to be fair, especially after the start you had, Anton, to get that back was something. But I do remember Mario Paint being a big, big thing on the SNES and being a real, like... I remember a friend of mine had it, and I can still remember thinking, wow, you can paint with a console? What is this?
I
and
so I knew it was so good. Yeah, I loved that.
Well, I knew it was early 90s. I would have gone 93, and 94 would have been my second guess. I didn't realize it was actually 92. So,
Yeah, I thought it was maybe a later era title when they were kind of running through the ideas trying to do new novel things, but... Surprise, it was so early.
Yeah.
Had a little mouse
it
with it, didn't it?
A mouse and a big, so like plastic, really solid plastic mouse pad as well. It wasn't like a bendy mouse pad. This is a big solid hunk of metal, hunk of plastic. And it was just, it was brilliant making all these creations, putting your Mario stamps on them and making all the pictures.
That's right,
of Mario.
The stamps, yeah. Which is kind of a throwback in Mario Party now. They've got the stamps, and I think that's kind of, it always reminds me of Mario Paint when you have the little, when you can choose a sticker in the corner. That always reminds me of that.
Happy days. Anyway, very fond memories. Well done, Mike. That is one way to start the year. I am most impressed, and I'm not going to admit, slightly surprised.
Wow, thank you. I think the only surprise was I got Advance Wars before we even got to the second clue. So that was a surprise because I've never played it in my life. But Never mind. That is it for another show. The first one with all three of us back in the seat, and hopefully not the last of the year, even though I was jesting. I do actually want to come back. We will be back next week. Until then, stay safe. We'll see you soon. Goodbye.
Cheerio.
Au revoir.